Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi David. Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha. And welcome to our home. Today I want to speak about missed opportunities. And also, I call my message Never Too Late Until It Is Too Late. Today I want to speak from the weekly Torah portion, Noach. This is a very interesting and instructive chapter for all humanity. Unfortunately, people have difficulty learning the lessons of history, often preferring simply to ignore what they don't like. Me, I personally would prefer to learn from the mistakes of others, as about me. Thinking of those people as a type of messianic deliverer sent to pay the price in my stead. And if the mistake is actually my own, I'm especially eager to learn from the lesson which follows from these mistakes. You know, I can tell you from my own experience. It seems that one must step only once on a rake to understand that everything has its consequences. And this is truth. So let's go back to Noah. So before we will read from this chapter, I would like to describe what's going on there, what had happened there. So Noah lived in very difficult times, and the Bible tells us that all the world was corrupted. I think he meant all the people of the world. So let's read with that in mind, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and verse 8. So verse 5 through verse 8. Actually, this is a very sad and very difficult place of scripture. It's not a joyful place of scripture. Then Adonai saw that the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil all the time. Can you imagine? All the time, evil thoughts. Verse 6. So Adonai regretted that he made humankind on the earth, and his heart was deeply pained. Verse 7. I love this translation. His heart was in pain. Because what's going on, what happened there. Verse 7. So Adonai said, I will wipe out humankind, whom I have created, from the face of the ground, from humankind to livestock, crawling things and the flying creatures of the sky, because I regret that I made them. And verse 8, actually, the verse that gives us hope. And because of this verse, verse 8, we are able to have Zoom and live from home. And I'm so happy that the Lord is so merciful to us. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in Adonai's eyes. Let's say together. Noah found favor in Adonai's eyes. Yeah. I would like to find favor in the eyes of the Lord. I would like that would find favor in the eyes of the Lord. That we will be able to be faithful to the Lord. Yes. It's so important to have favor in the eyes of the Lord. When I read this place of scripture, specifically Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 6 and 7, this is the difficult part of the scriptures. When we complain, and when I think about it, today when we complain about difficult times we live in, with so much sin and unrighteousness around, so many perverted people with whom we must live, let's just remember that during Noah's time, everyone, everyone except his family was corrupt. Can you imagine to live in such a condition that everyone, whole humanity, everybody corrupt before the Lord, sinful and evil? So we have each other. We can pray for each other. We have mishpacha. We have people around us who will support us with prayers. So I believe we have wonderful times to live in because we are blessed with each other. We are blessed by the prayers. And thank you, Rabbi David, for praying today, because it is so important to remember that we are together and we are blessed by each other. But during the time of Noah, everyone, all people who lived in this earth were corrupted. Outside of Noah's family, there was not a single person who could understand Noah and sympathize with his point of view. He was alone. He was only by himself. It was really dark time, dark age. All the rest of humanity made every effort to prove to God and to Noah that they were out of touch, their values outdated, having zero understanding of contemporary life and times. So, I would like to paint a small picture here. So, here sits Noah, surrounded by his perverse generation, and he hears a voice from God. Noah, you need to build an ark. I think that is your answer. It will be your testimony to the people around you. You are to be a proclaimer of God's righteousness. So the Lord commanded Noah to warn the world, to bring the message of salvation and God's justice to mankind, to the whole world around him. How would we feel if God laid such a command upon us? And I have good news for all of us. He already has. We are the same as Noah. We are called to be proclaimers of good news, of the news of salvation. It took Noah 99 years working on that boat. Can you imagine? 99 years. And no matter how hard it was for him, no matter what it cost him, he never stopped being a proclaimer of truth. All his life he dedicated to the Lord. All his ministry, every day of his life he was faithful to the Lord. It was a beautiful picture of his life. He was a beautiful picture. Noah was a righteous man who decided to obey the Lord. And I mean, I'm amazed by his faithfulness. He was not able only hear the Lord, but he was able to be faithful until the end. It is a beautiful picture. At least God has not told us to build a boat. This is good news for us. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, I want to read this verse because it's an important place of scripture. 2 Peter 2, 5. He did not spare the ancient world. He preserved only Noah, a proclaimer of righteousness, along with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. When I read this story, I asked myself an important question. Was there a unity in the world at that time? Was there any kind of unity in that world during the time of Noah? Well, it seems everyone except Noah and the family were united in a desire to do as much evil as possible. They had a lot of unity in the evil part, in the direction of evil. Unified in their belief that Noah was crazy, old man, who stuck in his religion. Unified in trying to prove that God is wrong this God is silent, is helpless, perhaps doesn't even exist. This is something that we face today. And I want to read from 2 Peter, because I think it's very important to remember. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 9. So let's read together. First of all, understand that in the last day, scoffers will come scoffing. You know what scoffers would do. Yes, scoffing. Following after their own desires and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on just as it has from the beginning of creation. Verse 5. For in holding to this idea, it escapes their notice that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. Through this, the word of the time was destroyed by being flooded with water. Verse 7. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly people. Verse 8. But don't forget this thing, loved ones, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Rather, he is being patient towards you, not waiting anyone to perish, but for all to come to teshuvah, to repentance. What a deep and interesting meaning here. What a deep promises from the Lord to us. Is there anything in this account of Noah's word that reminds you of your own world today? Anything that reminds of today's hysteria in the world, that reminds of today's opposition to those whose faith in God of the Bible. So, God says, Noah, it's going to rain, big time. Get yourself down to Home Depot. Rain, what's rain? What do we need rain for, Lord? We already have mist rising from the ground, so everything is already wet. And you know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, we can read, but a mist came up from the land and watered the whole surface of the ground. So, what's rain? We don't know what does it mean, rain. No matter, Noah. Just get down to Home Depot and buy up everything in sight. Be sure to tell them why do you need it. Tell them that rain is. And I can imagine that night the evening news report. Old fellow buys out box store. Needs to build a boat. Says it's going to rain big time. Water will fall from sky and we will all drown. I can imagine this news today. And perhaps all the kids in school thought it was pretty funny. They went to school, you know, they were learned that faith in God was a relic of a dark and stupid past. You know that sometimes in our schools we can hear different opinions about it. Science has now proven that there's no God. So men think they are in charge and were not created by God but descended from monkeys. And here these 600-year-old fellows are just a drag on society. Does this sound familiar to you and me? You see, there's nothing new about our current conflict between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. It is very ancient, having been around since the beginning of time. The same conflict between kingdom of God and kingdom of this world. Nothing new. You know, the truth is that Satan does not accept God's will. Never has. never will. And the truth is that people who do not choose to live by the values of God's kingdom automatically choose to live in opposition to God. There is no middle ground between kingdom of God and kingdom of evil, and we are called to be in the kingdom of God. You and I must ask yourself the question, which side am I on today? And who do I represent by my actions every day of my life? Where I belong? Am I belonging to the kingdom of the Lord today? And the Lord called us to be in His kingdom. You and I, although most of us are not called to float a boat, we are called to be priests and kings on this earth, to be representatives of the heavenly kingdom. And I would like to read from 1 Peter 2 chapter verse 9. Today we'll read some places from Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Mazel tov, it's for us. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is beautiful. We are called to be God's kingdom. We are called to be chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. That means that if the adversary is going to defeat God's plan, he must defeat us. With all his might, he tries to bury us in our daily problems, our conflicts and quarrels. With all his might, he tries to keep us from hearing God, to keep us from completing the ark of our salvation. And we are called to build an ark of our salvation. You and I are in the state of war. Not a war against flesh and blood, for sure, but a spiritual war. A war for our precious souls and for the souls of those we love. So this is why Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. This is truth for us today. Put on the full armor of God, so that you are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil, and after we have done everything, to stand firm. This is our calling. To be victorious, to always, always, always be victorious in the Lord, not by our power, not by our might, but in the Spirit of the Lord, by His might, by His power. And we have everything to be victorious through Yeshua the Messiah. You know, when I'm praying, how I wish my whole family and everyone I love would enter the ark of salvation. And there they will all find life. This is my prayer for all my family and people who I love. And the truth is that you and I are called to build the ark of salvation and to invite people in. We have a task from the Lord. And we know that, of course, Yeshua is the ark of salvation today. He is the Savior of the world, and in Him alone is there salvation for us. And our lifelong task, it's not only one day task, not only 2 day task, but all life, lifelong task, our reason for living is to introduce everyone to the Savior, to bring them to a knowledge of the truth. You know, please think about it. In the time of Noah, he was only one who trusted the Lord, who followed the Lord. And he knows the truth about coming ahead. So he was a giver of this message to people around him. I believe his heart was full of love towards these people. He was called to be a witness for these people. I don't think he enjoyed salvation by himself. I think he prayed for these people around him. This is the heart of a righteous person, to pray for people who live around them. Bible teaches us in the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 6, and this is actually part of my prayer. I'm always, when I pray for somebody, I use this place of scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 6. So when we pray for somebody, please remember this place of scripture. He desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. This is his will. And if we want somebody to come to the Lord, please think about how much more he willing to save somebody, to bring him, to embrace him. Verse 5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, a human, Messiah Yeshua, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Only one God and mediator between God and us, Messiah Yeshua. We are called to build the ark of salvation, and this construction is to continue, for as long as we live, even if it takes 99 years. What a privilege it is for you and me to be chosen, to be called, to be useful to the Lord and to people. We are privileged, we are chosen, we are blessed by the Lord to be his witnesses. So let's return to Noah. So how did everything end up in Noah's days? So we know this story. Remember that Noah was a proclaimer of righteousness, and that for everyone on earth he was an insane religious fanatic. Everybody was thinking about him the same. He is crazy. He is insane. But in the end, in his faithfulness, Noah did not stop building. And in the end, when he built the ark, the Lord brought animals to him for salvation. And after Noah and his family boarded, the Lord himself closed the door of the ark, and the great flood began. And I want to read, because this place of scripture very important for us today. It's in Genesis chapter 7 from verse 16. And they that went into the ark, male and female of all flesh, went in, as the Lord commanded him. And the Lord shut behind him the ark. Those that came, male and female of all flesh, came just as God commanded him. Then Adonai shut everyone in. So twice, in the same place of scripture, it said that the Lord shut behind him. And this next verse again, then Adonai shut everyone in. So first, it's important to understand, he shut the door for everyone to come in, and he shut them inside of the ark so that they were not able to went out. And verse 17, the flood was 40 days upon the land, and the waters increased and lifted the ark, so that it rose above the land. Verse 18. The waters overpowered and became very mighty over the land. And the ark drifted on the surface of the water. Verse 19. The waters completely overpowered the land, so that all the high mountains beneath the entire sky were covered. What a sad story. What a tragedy for all mankind. When I consider that it was not Noah, but the Lord himself who closed the door of salvation. I concluded that Noah may have been not able to close the door himself. He was unable to do that. When I put myself on his place, what would you do if the rain began to fall and people ran to the ark, pounded on the door and cried for entrance? No doubt, it would be a mighty temptation to save those lives, to allow others to enter the ark. And we know that he was righteous. I believe his heart was full of mercy of the Lord towards the people. But to try to save others, they would have cost Noah his own righteous life and defeated God's entire plan of salvation for this world. I believe it is very important to understand this was not Noah who closed the door, but the Lord. Let us remember these sayings. Never too late until it's too late. And I read about one more saying, Rabbi David, remind me. It ain't over till it's over. It goes together. But those people had every opportunity that Noah had to live a righteous life. And the Lord even extended mercy for another 100 years. He was merciful to them. They saw the ark being built. They heard the words of Noah. They had another 100 years of opportunity to perform teshuvah, to repent and change their actions. So they had 100 years to change their way of life. What do you think? Would 200 years make any difference? Or maybe 300 years? I don't think so. So they could have chosen life, helped Noah in the construction and contributed to their own salvation. Instead, they chose death, not salvation, condemnation, not forgiveness. And this is the very important part I want to share with you, because this is what was in my heart when I read this place of scripture. And please listen carefully here. It is something important to remember that during that time of Noah, everyone was sure that Noah was crazy. Everyone. But in fact, they all turned out to be crazy. It was not Noah who were crazy. All humankind who perverted were crazy. After the century of laughter and opposition, in the end, Noah no longer heard ridicule and evil jokes, threats and humiliation. The last thing Noah heard was, please forgive us. Open the door to the ark for us. Please open the door. But it was already too late. The opportunity for salvation had already been lost. And this is hard part. You know, we live in today's era, thousands of years later. Can you see history repeating itself? Isn't the same thing happening today? And we know that the Lord Yeshua has warned us. He has extended our years of opportunity. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to verse 42, I'm going to read it because it is to us from the Lord. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 42. For just as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. It will be the same. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one taken and one left. I mean, actually, think about it. It's a difficult part. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken and one left. And verse 42, therefore stay alert, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. So stay alert, because we don't know when he's coming, but this is the way. Stay alert. Stay alert. What could be clearer to us? Stay alert. If you are persecuted because of your faith, or somebody attacks you because of your righteousness, that is okay. It is good. It will be much worse for you if you compromise the words of the Bible, the whispering of your consciousness. At the gate of heaven, the Lord will not be asking, are you progressive? Have you been normal? You know, I could list the sins that unfortunately many believers has already allowed in their hearts and their congregations, so as to keep pace with the times. But instead, I will just remind you that the Lord does not change. His opinion will not change ever. His righteousness will not change even if all mankind decides that God is wrong. Dear friends, I have good news for us. You and I are not crazy or outdated or religious fanatics. Do not pay attention to false voices, no matter how convincing and loud their sound. Remember the time of Noah. You and I are the righteous who love God with all our hearts and are grateful to Him. Our hearts belong to the one who created the universe and to the one who will come to judge humanity. Please think about it. It is such an honor and privilege to know Yeshua and follow Him all your life. I congratulate you on this. It is a great privilege to be in His kingdom. Today, all of you are needed more than ever before. We needed to build an ark of salvation. We need every heart, every person who will stand in the gap for others. It is an important time for us. This time in which we live, on the one hand, is difficult and full of trials, and on the other hand, it is wonderful and full of new opportunities. The Lord is moving on this earth today, and as never before, and I truly feel in my heart, more and more, and it will be great joy for me to see with my own eyes the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Bible and the awakening of my people, the people of Israel. My prayer is for all of us, that none of us are late. None of us are empty observers from the outside. My prayers is that what Yeshua, when He will come, He will find us all engaged in construction, working in the field that the Lord has assigned us to. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Tomorrow I will talk some more about Noah and will draw some interesting lessons from his life. And I will close with Aaronic blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel. And then we will return to Brian and Diane's home for a final worship song. And before we'll pray, please consider to be faithful and wholehearted in your tithes and offerings. If life from home is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing for Beth Israel. So let's pray together. If you are with somebody, please sit together and let's pray. Let's receive blessings from the Lord. Yevrechecha Adonai v'ishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai palavelecha v'yaseh lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen.